The Bible reading today is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. The Father revealed in the Son. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one who knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord.
Phil and Phoebe are not here today because Phil has been competing in his first triathlon. And it's a beginner one down in Barwon Heads. And I've had a text message. He is alive. no injuries. So this is good. I feel relieved. I was chatting to a few people beforehand. No idea how he was going. But in our family, we have a division, not over exercise, although we do have different enjoyment levels in that regard, but when it comes to swimming at the beach. So the triathlon required an ocean swim. I can't even imagine. But we have a big division on how hot it has to be before one goes in the water at the beach. So Phil will go in at any temperature, but won't stay in for very long. It's fine. Phoebe will go in at any temperature and stay in until you have to, like, scrape her off the sand. She's way overdone. It has to be extremely hot for me to go in. Like, you know, it has to be sweltering and unpleasant on the sand. I like going to the beach, but it just has to be, like, really hot. And we did have a few of those days this summer, which was great. I do find it refreshing. 3 years ago, we gave ourselves a new mission statement, really just re-articulating what it meant to be Deep Creek Anglican Church, St. Philip's Deep Creek here in Doncaster East, putting to words what our heart was. And we came up with, as a welcoming and growing multi-generational church with refreshing faith in Jesus Christ, we will be life-giving to the believer, surprising to the world, and strengthening to the weary and doubting. Those three aims at the end really come from refreshing faith in the middle. And little did we know, and this is what happens with the best things of God, little did we know how important refreshing faith would become in our world in the past 2.5 years. So we had no idea that Melbourne would experience fires and floods and earthquakes. We had no idea that there would be a global pandemic. And only this last fortnight, we had no idea that there would be new war in Europe. However, we did know that we were in a generation that needed refreshing. We could look around and know that in our area, people were working harder than ever. Many people had come from across the seas, as they had over generations and generations, maybe from Greece, maybe from Italy, and then maybe from China, maybe from India, maybe from Iran, working harder, and South Africa, working harder than ever. Even though technology, as we talked about at our growth group's launch, has made so many things easier for us, yet we are driven awake and attentive at all times. We are, of course, a generation that needs refreshing. And so when we express that we are a church with faith in Jesus Christ, as every church is and should be, we want to say that faith in Jesus Christ meets the need of our area and our world. We are a world that is exhausted and afraid. We are a world that is hot and bothered, like me on a day where I'll jump in the ocean. And so we as a church want to say, what you find in Jesus is refreshing to every need, every exhaustion, every fear. But we need to be really clear that for faith to be refreshing, it must be in Jesus Christ and in the Jesus Christ outlined in the Scriptures, revealed in the Scriptures. Studies have shown that faith, belief, belonging, being part of a faith community of any sort, is actually beneficial to the human being. There is much in spiritual practice, whether it's mindfulness, meditation, or prayer, there is much that in being in a faith community where you have a structure, a hope, and a sense of belonging, all of these things are good for human beings. It's how we were designed. And so it might be tempting for us to say, faith in itself is refreshing. And to some extent, that's actually true. But for us to have true refreshing as human beings created by an almighty God, who we sometimes refer to as God the Father, then our faith must be in Jesus Christ. So the context of this amazing and very familiar passage about Jesus saying, "Come to me," is this: all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This is another way of saying, as Jesus did in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you want to be connected to the ultimate power and the one who made all things, then you need to do it through the Son. And so even though we are unashamed at being a place where we practice spiritual disciplines, where we do things that are spiritual and make us feel connected to something bigger, when we worship, when we pray, even though we are unashamed about that, we must always ensure that those things are centered in Jesus Christ. And not just in Jesus Christ as we might like him to be, or in fact as we might have grown up thinking him to be. We need to ensure that the Jesus that we are centering ourselves on, that we are placing our faith in, is the Jesus revealed in the Scriptures. It's possible to have faith in Jesus Christ that isn't refreshing. There are actually people, many, many, many people, who would say, absolutely, I believe in Jesus. and who find that to be a stressful or empty or deeply burdensome experience. Perhaps those who've grown up in churches where the leadership have spoken of Jesus as someone who is very strict. Perhaps people who find that they see all spiritual things through the lens of their own trauma or through their own pride. We must, to ensure that our faith is actually refreshing, that it's not that caricature of joyless or guilt-ridden or impractical, irrelevant, that our faith is in the Jesus of the Scriptures, who is made known to us through the living Holy Spirit. It is possible for faith in Jesus to not be refreshing, and we want none of it. Because this is the Jesus who would say, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." And so refreshing faith is not self-sufficient. Refreshing faith is faith, not works. It is grace, not earning. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We cannot come to God expecting that we can do it ourselves. And when I think about our area, and when I think about maybe our demographic, this is a huge temptation. Deep Creek was started in 1906, St. Philip's Deep Creek, by orchardists who were deeply hard-working people. They had to rely on every effort of their own bodies to ensure that there was food and there was produce to sell. We come from many different places, and yet many, if not all, of our cultures highly prize working hard, achieving well, and bettering yourself. And in fact, that is pretty much the mantra of, I would say, the West, but not just the West, the entire world. Because it's human striving and drive, and we love to see people go from poverty to riches. What a wonderful story. My dad grew up in significant hardship. And his dad left the family home, him and his three sisters, when my dad was six. And they were poor. There wasn't child support back then. My grandma was a piano teacher and a gifted musician. And she taught piano from her home to support the four kids. My dad lived in a woodshed out the back. I've seen it. My nana has since passed away some decades ago, but I remember very vividly going to the home, and there were cracks so wide in the walls that the vines from outside were coming in. Like, now we do that because it's really hip, right? And we buy ivy to put in a pot. Well, she was before her time. There it was in the kitchen. You didn't have to water it because the roots were outside. But my dad bettered himself. And he worked really hard and he was clever. And we didn't grow up in that sort of hardship. And in fact, as I grew up, my dad's earning capacity kind of kept growing, as happens often these days in this area, not everywhere. And we had a great deal of self-sufficiency. And there was a great deal of pride, because don't tell me that I can't achieve what I need to achieve, I can. And so our family coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, there were some serious hurdles. And I really shouldn't say were. That's going to be part of me forever. But Jesus says you cannot come earning, working, self-sufficient. You come knowing that those things are actually a burden. And I will give you rest. I loved this photo because I think you and I are carrying so much in life and in our spiritual expectations to God that it's not a backpack, right? We have to construct a whole thing to be able to pull it along. And our faith will not be refreshing if we do not look behind us and say, ah, something's the matter here. I need to come to Jesus. Jesus is the most patient, the most gentle, the most humble being that ever lived. Does that strike you as an odd thing to say? We have sung his glory, his power. Today's the transfiguration. We've seen him on the mountain, dazzling. We know that he is the King of Kings and that he holds all righteousness. But let me read this to you from a recently published book by Dane Ortlund called Gentle and Lowly. My dad pointed out to me something that Charles Spurgeon pointed out to him. In the four gospel accounts given to us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 89 chapters of biblical text which we're going to read during Lent, there's only one place where Jesus tells us about his own heart. We learn much in the four Gospels about Christ's teaching, his birth, ministry, disciples, his travels, his prayer habits. We find lengthy teaching and repeated objections by his hearers. We learn of the way he understood himself to fulfill the whole Old Testament. And of course, we learn in all four accounts of his unjust arrest and shameful death and astonishing resurrection. But in only one place, perhaps the most wonderful words ever uttered by human lips, do we hear Jesus himself open us up to us, his very heart. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the one place in the Bible where the Son of God pulls back the veil and lets us peer down into the core of who he is, we are not told that he is austere and demanding in heart. We are not told that he is exalted and dignified in heart. We are not even told that he is joyful and generous in heart. Letting Jesus set the terms, his surprising claim is that he is gentle and lowly in heart. For those of us who either bring a burden of self-sufficiency and pride or deep sense of unworthiness and sin, Jesus is gentle, compassionate, patient, and lowly. He never says, not now. He never says, it's too much. He never says, how dare you? He is gentle, offering help and grace in our time of need, not in our time of having it all together, not in our time of offering all that we can do, how smooth our life is, how much we've pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps, how good we are. But in our time of need, where we bring every mess, every piece of junk that we have done and carried with us and that's been done against us, he never says too much. He never says not now. He never says how dare you. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It is my heart, his very heart. And yet, refreshing faith is not unfettered freedom, but a yoke. A yoke, of course, was the contraption that you would put over oxen, cattle, even horses, to make them do what you needed them to do. In this case, it's ploughing. And in the times of Jesus and earlier, a yoke was a way of describing a lifestyle that came from teaching. And so the Jews would say that they were under the yoke of the Torah, that something had been placed upon them and it would enable them to do what God intended for them to do. It gave them a purpose. It allowed them to accomplish God's mission on the earth. They had a yoke. And yet, I don't know if you remember Jesus' words that he said to the Pharisees, you put burdens on people that you yourselves are not willing to lift a finger to help them with. The question is not about having ultimate freedom. It's about what sort of yoke you are under. The West, of course, believes that human flourishing is ultimately through unfettered freedom. That because we don't understand what it means to be connected to one another and to serve one another for the sake of human flourishing, we believe that freedom of this, that, and the other thing is the ultimate good. And in fact, when your ties are cut, when your chains are broken, you are much easier to steer at the whim of those that seek to commodify you. And so we, in our midst of consumerism, hedonism, individualism, and deconstruction, they're just fancy words for the kind of anything goes breaking social media buy stuff world. We are full of freedoms. Full. And yet we find that our relational and our meaning tanks are almost empty, leading to isolation, depression, tribalism, paralysis, confusion, and discontent. Jesus says, yes, freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But you need a yoke in order to have meaning, purpose, connection, and to accomplish your reason for being here. He is not shying away from us needing to come under a lifestyle, a teaching, a direction. But the point is that his is not heavy. Can you imagine a teacher who's just said, you know, these incredible things in the Sermon on the Mount? You must forgive your enemies. He's just said like 10 verses before, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, these cities. I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. These are hard words. And yet, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, either he is well unaware of how impossible it is for us to do all those things that he's taught us, or something else is going on. Refreshing faith is a response to that something else. It's an invitation that he says, I will give you rest. I will carry the burden of you being unable to do so much of that. I will carry the burden of empowering you to do that. I will send my very spirit. I will die on the cross. I will never leave or forsake you. Those Pharisees lay a burden, do not lift a finger. I will give everything. My teaching, it seems hard, but because it is me who will fulfill and give and die and rise, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's possible for us to believe that because we read the Bible or we go to a church where they preach the Bible, that we've got it right. And that our faith is going to be refreshing because we've got this thing and we do the Bible study and we're not like them down the street, what doesn't do it. Refreshing faith is not intellectual assent. It is not ticking a box. It is response to an invitation. Jesus says, come to me. Not when you've got it all together, not when you've read the Bible cover to cover, not when you're without sin, not when the house is clean, not when the kids are quiet. Come to me. Not when you haven't mucked up. Not when you're stuck in addiction. Not when you've been mean. Not when you're feeling dry. None of those times keep you away from him. But he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We sometimes wonder why our faith is not refreshing. Well, we've ticked all the boxes, we've grown up in it, we've done the right things. Come to me. Take my yoke. Learn from me. Receive the rest. As you might know, I'm on a few different committees and we're closing here with the wider diocese, and we talk about churches growing or churches not growing, and how we don't have a lot of mega churches in the Anglican system, whatever that looks like in Australia. And someone was sharing about a church that had like 400 kids in the Sunday school, you know, 60, 80 years ago. And they said they remained evangelical. That is shorthand for saying, you know, they ticked the boxes. But they forgot to be evangelistic. That is, they forgot that refreshing faith is an invitation.
and that we actually are calling people to respond to a person who's saying, come to me. When I go to the beach, there's something else that will get me in the water, not just the hot. It's when someone says, come on in, the water's great, come on, it's really fun. It feels cold at first, but it's really good. And you get in there and you get up to here and you're like, oh. Our job is to do that. Our job is to come to Jesus, jump in the water, and then to be able to say to everybody around us who desperately needs refreshing, come on in, the water's great. Let's pray. Father, we are so speechless with gratitude that you would reveal yourself in your Son and that you would provide everything that was needed for us to have life with you. Wherever we are at in our journey with you, we ask that you'll help us right now to heed your call to come to you and to come under your yoke, because it is light and easy, because you are gentle and humble. May we be a church that refreshes because we are refreshed. Amen.